Returning in our Bibles to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We are told by Peter in his first epistle that the Lord Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And one of the great examples that he has set before us is his prayer life. In the Gospels, each writer emphasizes some particular aspect of the Savior's character. Matthew majors on his kingship, while Mark sets forth Christ the servant. John, in his writings, portrays the divine sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereas Luke underlines Christ the man. And in emphasizing the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke dwells very much upon the prayers of the Savior. And you will find recorded in that gospel more about prayer, more about the Savior's teaching on prayer, more about the Savior actually in prayer than in any of the other gospels. Christ the man needed to pray. How much more do we not need to pray? And in this record set before us in the writings of Luke, we have much teaching about the subject of prayer. I want to just underline the verse 1 of the chapter 18, because what the Savior says in that first verse, what he teaches, he demonstrated in his life. And I want us to look quickly at a few things concerning Christ in prayer. He says in this verse 1 of chapter 18, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is the answer to fainting. Fainting is what we feel like doing. Prayer is what we should be engaged in. And the Savior presents for us a wonderful example to follow. And as time permits me this morning, I want to consider the Savior and the prayers in his life. If you turn to the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, the chapter 3, you will discover that the Lord Jesus Christ began his public ministry in prayer. In the chapter 3, and in the verse 21, we read, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Now since the Savior was always heard when he prayed, I think that you can easily discern what it was he was praying for on this occasion. He was praying for heaven to be opened. It says the heavens were opened. Prayer is the only means whereby you and I can open heaven. And that's what we can do When the heavens seem as brass, only prayer can open them. When God has withdrawn His presence and heaven seems afar off, it is only by prayer that we can know heaven opened above us again. The Holy Spirit descended. He prayed for that special endowment of the Spirit of God. God's people need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Today, because of the charismatic movement, because of the many false teachings concerning the Holy Ghost, Christians are frightened of praying for the Holy Ghost. Never let heresy deprive you of proper access to the truth of God. Never let the devil's counterfeit cause you to shun away from that which is genuine. Let us, especially let us, rediscover what God's Word has to say about the power of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer. The Lord Jesus began His ministry praying, praying for heaven to be opened, praying for the power of the Holy Ghost to descend upon Him. We need to be praying for that. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? We need to ask for the power and the endowment, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. You will notice also that there came a voice from heaven that said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." The Lord will talk to us when we pray. We will have blessed assurance that we really belong to the Father when we pray. We will be told of our sonship. A praying person is a person who knows they belong to the Father in heaven. The Savior began His ministry in prayer. He guarded His time of prayer very carefully throughout His ministry. Chapter 5, verse 16. "And He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed." The Lord Jesus never allowed anything to deprive Him of His time of prayer. Verse 15 says, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of Him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. And He withdrew." Now we need to get our priorities right. We need to throw aside carnal reasoning when seeking to do the work of God and get back to the Bible, back to the example of the Lord Jesus. Never, never give up your time of prayer. No matter if the city is at your door crying out unto you to preach, you say, "I will preach when I have prayed. For if I preach without prayer, my preaching is useless." He didn't let fame, He didn't let public demand to hear Him. He did not let even the desire of the infirm to be healed deny Him His time of prayer. Third thing I want to show you about the Savior in prayer. You'll notice that praying and his teaching of the apostles, the deep things of God, are closely linked. Chapter 9, verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Here the Savior is in prayer and the disciples with him. And they begin to discuss the deepest of all theological themes, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who say amen that I am? Whom do the world say that I am? The world only could guess as to who he was. Elias, John the Baptist, but the man in prayer said, Thou art the Christ. And the Lord Jesus went on to teach of his death and of his resurrection. Only those who pray come to possess and to appropriate the deep things of God. Quickly, moving a little further to the chapter 9, again, further down the chapter, the verse 28, we read, And it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. While the Savior was praying, he was gloriously transfigured. His countenance was changed, his clothing was changed, and he stood amongst a heavenly company. The lesson is simple. It is the eternal purpose of God that those who love him and who are born again be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what God's will is for you. And do you know how this glorious transformation will take place? While you pray. For it is while we are in fellowship with the Lord Jesus that we take on the image of the Holy. It is said of the apostles that men took note of them that they had been with Jesus. Paul the apostle wrote, But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Let a man or a woman spend time in prayer and they will rise from their knees with the stamp of the heavenly upon them. Quickly again, chapter 11. The verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. The Savior's praying created a desire in the hearts of his disciples to pray. Praying is very smitten, if you use that phrase. It's catching. When somebody begins to breathe out the very breath of heaven in their prayers, it soon spreads. Dead praying kills a prayer meeting. But just let one speak the language of heaven, and soon all will be brought under the power of heaven. I'm thinking of an occasion in India when that great man of prayer, Praying Hyde, John Hyde, the missionary, standing up in public prayer at a convention, just breathed the words, "O God." And even as he uttered those words, the power of heaven and the hush of heaven fell upon that gathering of people. And men and women, conscious of the presence of God, fell on their knees. Those who are in touch with heaven are a great inspiration to others. Let everyone who is training for the ministry take note of that. Your people will be no better at prayer than you are. I must briefly conclude by saying Christ turned to prayer in the hour of his deepest agony, chapter 22, verse 39. As Calvary approached, the Savior resorted to prayer. I believe the devil made an attempt to slay the Savior in the garden, and it was in prayer that he gained the victory over the devil. Wrestling there in prayer, he gained a victory. The Savior at no time stumbled or hesitated about going to the cross. The devil sought to slay the Savior in the garden and thus keep him from the cross. Never doubt that Jesus went to the cross willingly, absolutely willingly. It is in prayer in the garden, in the hour of his deepest agony, that he gained the victory. In the chapter 24, and this is our final reference, the verse 50, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." The last the disciples saw of the Lord Jesus, he was praying. And of course, he's praying now. For he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And Christian, for you to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ today means, above all things, you will be a person of prayer. May the Lord bless us through his word this morning.